This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Friday, June 1st. I'm Jeff Bossert. Coming up, Illinois Public Radio's Sean Crawford will talk about the overtime session now underway in Springfield as lawmakers failed to approve a budget by last night's deadline. And a look at the weather forecast with AM 580's Mike Sulla. But first, today's news. The father of an Urbana soldier killed in Iraq says his son told him in their last conversation that he'd be home soon. The Department of Defense said Private First Class Robert Liggett died Tuesday after a non-combat-related incident. Dean Liggett told the Chicago Tribune that his 23-year-old son was a combat engineer who worked with explosives. Dean Liggett says his son slimmed down his 6'2", 250-pound frame to enlist after being rejected by the Army for being overweight. He says the Army, quote, turned him completely around. Robert Liggett was assigned to the 2nd Battalion, 69th Armored Regiment, based in Fort Benning, Georgia. There were no phone numbers listed for a Robert Liggett in Urbana. Liggett is the second soldier from East Central Illinois to die in a matter of days. 21-year-old Francis Trussell, Jr., a Danville native who lived in Lincoln, died Saturday when a roadside bomb detonated near his vehicle. The new month brings new priorities to the table as Illinois officials try to piece together a state budget. The legislature's Republican minority will get a chance to influence state spending and taxes now that Democrats have missed yesterday's deadline to wrap up their business. The House adjourned yesterday evening, and the Senate did the same early this morning. Both the House and Senate plan to return to work today. The House is scheduled to work 3 days a week through June, but the Senate's plan isn't clear. Legislative rules now in effect require a 3/5 vote instead of a simple majority to pass a budget. And again, much more on the legislature's overtime session coming up with Sean Crawford in just a few minutes. Illinois senators last night approved a gaming expansion bill, but all four casinos approved were for the Chicago area. But the Danville City Council voted 9-1 that same evening to ask lawmakers to keep their town in mind when it comes to new gaming in the state. AM 580's Jim Meadows has more.
Danville Mayor Scott Eisenhower says his East Central Illinois city is economically depressed and could use the jobs and tax revenue a casino would bring. He says a Danville casino wouldn't compete with other casinos in Illinois, but would draw gamblers from East Central Illinois and Western Indiana, regions that are currently casino-free.
So now you're putting a boat in a place where, A, you won't cannibalize any of the other existing positions or proposed positions, and more importantly, you're going to be bringing revenue into the state from out of state to the tune of almost 65% projected.
Eisenhower says several lawmakers from both parties in both chambers have told him they'd be favorably inclined towards a Danville gaming license if the idea came up. The idea hasn't come up in any legislation yet, but Eisenhower says it might if the budget debate drags on into summer. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
Parkland College has released documents regarding the resignation of former President Robert Exley. As part of a separation agreement, the college says that Exley will be paid his $170,000 salary prorated for up to 9 months. The papers also indicate that neither the Champaign Community College nor Exley will say anything negative about one another, and that both sides will not release the details behind his resignation. Exley resigned in early May amid health and family matters. He suffered a heart attack last fall, and Exley's father passed away a short time later. He submitted his resignation while on medical leave. The separation documents were requested by the News-Gazette in mid-May. In an editorial last month, the newspaper said Parkland's Board of Trustees might not have been candid about the reasons for Exley's departure. At $2.25 billion, the goal for the University of Illinois' fundraising campaign is the biggest in the school's history. But the U of I's Brilliant Futures fundraising campaign isn't starting from scratch. Nearly half of the total, $990 million, has been raised during the past 4 years during the so-called quiet phase of the campaign. Now that the campaign is becoming more visible, President B. Joseph White says the money raised will support the basic work of the University of Illinois at its three campuses.
The purpose of this campaign is to support students so that education is accessible and affordable, and it is to support faculty so that we can ensure that education is excellent, period. This campaign is about supporting students and faculty.
White says reaching the $2.25 billion goal by 2011 would raise the overall level of giving to the U of I by an estimated 40%. The university will formally launch its Brilliant Futures campaign with a gala event at Chicago's Navy Pier tonight. Illinois' top lawyer is hailing a decision to strip a former governor of his pension. Shauna Lee reports.
Former Illinois Governor George Ryan started his political career decades before he became Secretary of State or governor. He was convicted for racketeering during his last terms in office, but a judge ruled he should be stripped of all of his state pension money. Attorney General Lisa Madigan says the decision makes sense.
The idea behind the forfeiture provision was to prevent people from engaging in criminal conduct. It really was intended to have a deterrent effect. You know, hopefully it will serve as a word of warning to others in public office should they ever think about engaging in criminal conduct.
But it's not certain that message will be sent. George Ryan's legal team vows to fight the pension ruling. That's in addition to an appeal of the conviction that jeopardized George Ryan's pension in the first place. I'm Sean Ali.
For the latest newscast online, go to wiol.uiuc.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Jeff Bosser. The Illinois legislature is in overtime session. Instead of working out a budget deal over the past few weeks, Illinois Democrats quarreled and pointed fingers at each other. The state's top leaders held few meetings and never appeared to be on the same page. As Sean Crawford reports, the Democrats' problems might open the door for Republicans to get more involved.
No doubt about it, Illinois is a blue state. Democrats now control all of state government, and their majority in the Illinois legislature affords them the opportunity to push their agenda. Until Governor Ron Blagojevich took office, Illinois Democrats had gone a quarter of a century without one of their own in the state's top job. But the party is learning it's tough being on top. Blagojevich, House Speaker Mike Madigan, and Senate President Emil Jones work in different wings of the Capitol building, but it seemed at times this spring they were miles apart. It's left many Democrats scratching their heads. Jack Franks is a state representative from Woodstock. He says the public should be upset.
When they elect us to do a job, they expect us to get our job done. The continuous posturing and the overtime and not getting things accomplished, they have to question the competency. And if I were them, I would.
Franks mostly lays blame with the governor, who he says failed to take no for an answer when it was clear his controversial gross receipts tax plan lacked support. Franks says that set back the budget process. The irony of the party in power failing to get its business done is not lost on Republicans, who spent most of the past 5 years watching from the sidelines. As the session drifted into overtime, Senate Republican leader Frank Watson could not help but highlight the situation.
You can't pass a budget. You can't do the business of the governor. The gross receipts tax, we never even had a vote. We can't, and you can't get it done. I think it's, you have to be embarrassed. And I know many of you are.
So much for bipartisan cooperation. Watson can be forgiven for his taunting. He and other Republicans have had no opportunity to be involved in budget talks this year. Not only are they in the dark regarding how to spend money, but also how to raise it. Republican Jim Watson, a Jacksonville House member, says being in the minority makes the job difficult.
You have to sharpen your skills and find other ways, not just in the budget, but in the whole process. You have to find other ways to get things done. You have to find better ways to, you know, groom relationships with folks on the other side, and you know, so I've done that, and I think a lot of us have. It's frustrating to know that you're sent here by, you know, over 100,000 people, and when it comes to the budget, to the spending plan, you're virtually shut out.
For other Democrats, it's more than just the disappointment of missing a deadline or having to stay longer at the Capitol. It's about missed opportunities to accomplish goals. With no changes on how schools get money, failing to reform the health care system, and no extra money for Chicago mass transit, House Democrat Joe Lyons says he looks back with regret.
Everybody, I guess, is, especially this year anyways, is like equally frustrated. A lot of things we'd hoped to accomplish just aren't going to happen.
That's especially true if Republicans are at the negotiating table. Now that the legislative session has moved into overtime, additional votes to pass a budget are needed, giving the minority party a say. Members of the GOP want to limit spending and have the state live within its means. They're likely to oppose any new programs or government expansion. But Democrats might have another trick up their sleeve to ensure that doesn't happen. The House approved a budget plan that could be taken up in the Senate, where Democrats have enough members for the 3/5 approval necessary. If that made it into law, the party could then negotiate on a spending and revenue plan that would take effect a few months later. That maneuver would allow Democrats to bypass Republicans. Crete Democratic Senator Debbie Halverson admits it's under consideration.
It's an idea that has been put on the table that we work with this budget so that something is there. It's a floor to work with.
But there are still other matters to deal with. Dozens of lawmakers refuse to vote for any budget package until electric rate relief occurs. Skyrocketing rates, especially in downstate areas, have left consumers angry and looking to the General Assembly for help. The contentious issue remains on lawmakers' plates. And while there's no way to tell how long the session could last, the House already told its members to be prepared to work at least through June. I'm Sean Crawford.
Now AM 580's Mike Sola has a look at the forecast for the weekend.
Across the two-state area, highs will range from 80 in northwestern Illinois to 90 in southern Indiana. Tonight, northern sections in central Illinois will become mostly cloudy with widely scattered showers and thunderstorms, elsewhere partly cloudy. Lows from 60 in northwestern Illinois to 68 in some central Illinois locations. And then for Saturday, partly to mostly cloudy, widely scattered showers and thunderstorms, mainly in northern and western Illinois. And highs tomorrow range from 78 in the north to 88 in eastern Indiana. Champaign-Urbana, again, the dense fog through mid-morning, partly to mostly sunny, a slight chance for afternoon thunderstorms developing, the high 83, south wind 7 to 14 miles per hour. Becoming mostly cloudy tonight, a few showers and thunderstorms likely, especially late tonight, the low 65, the wind out of the south at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Mostly cloudy and breezy for Saturday with occasional showers and thunderstorms. The high 83, a south wind at 10 to 20 miles per hour. Saturday night, we remain mostly cloudy with periods of rain. Some thunderstorms, the low 63, mostly cloudy on Sunday with showers, perhaps a thunderstorm. The high 78, and then Sunday night, partly to mostly cloudy, the low 58. Another chance of an afternoon thunderstorm on Monday under a partly sunny sky, the high 77.
This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Friday, June 1st. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, as well as other helpful information at our website, wiol.uiuc.edu. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.